Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Gain is the name of the game. Gain is the name of the game. And if you haven't been here, we've been looking at the ranching industry. There's four parts. I've kind of condensed it to four parts. There's probably 7 or 8 or 10 or 12. I don't know. I didn't go to college for ag science or any of that stuff. But here's the thing. I've condensed it to four parts of the cattle industry. Number one is the producer. That's the cow-calf guy, right? That's the pairs guy. He raises, you know, cows, or he buys cows and raises calves. The second is the stocker, right? The stocker buys the calves from the producer and raises what? What's the next one? Anybody know? Is it up there? The feeder, right? The feeder, he buys feeders and he produces the fat cattle, right? It's okay to say fat when you're talking about cattle. Amen? Some of you guys are like, that preacher's a jerk, talking about fat people. I'm talking about cattle here. But the stocker, actually the feeder, buys feeders and produces fats. And then the last one, which is number four, is the killer or the packer. The packer takes the fats and turns it into a box of meat for your consumption, right? Steaks, T-bones, ribeyes, all that stuff. But here's the name of this whole game. The name of the game is gain. I just messed all that up. Gain is the name of the game. It's going to be one of those days. I should have let my wife preach today, right? But gain is the name of the game. In the cattle industry, it's all about the gain. Again, that's simplified. There's a lot of other factors that go into it. I know I got cattle experts in here that are going, you're dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. But here's the thing. I have to simplify it for myself. And in the industry of cattle and buying cattle and raising cattle, gain is the name of the game. And here's the questions that we've been answering in this series. First of all, how can we help others gain godliness? Right? There's this key scripture, 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, and this has been our key scripture for this whole series, and it says this: but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And again, we've been answering these questions. How can we help others gain godliness? And then another question was, how do we gain godliness ourselves? And then what does it look like to be godly? And we've answered those questions throughout this series. But here's the truth. The truth is God has a desire for us to live a godly life. Amen? Here's the thing. If you call yourself a Christian, if you desire and you say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then He desires for you to be a godly person, right? Now, can I just let you in on a little secret? And I just figured this out the other day. A lot of people are saying that the church is declining, you know, as far as church attendance goes and all that stuff. Here's what I'm learning about the church and the decline of the church. And again, this is just maybe a side note I just need to share. I believe, here's the one thing that I believe about our culture. Our culture is becoming more and more authentic and not fake. I want you to think about this. This is just, again, a side note. This is free. Our culture is becoming more authentic and less fake. In other words, in the past, a lot of people would come to church because it was what? The thing to do. If I was a businessman, I'd come to church. If I was working at a teacher, I would come to church. And they would just come to church because that was the thing to do. Now, here's the truth about our culture. And I love this about our culture. I love it. They're authentic. I love people that here's the truth. If people say, I don't love Jesus, then I would just love to hear them say, I don't love Jesus. Amen? I don't like hanging around with fake people. And here's the truth. I believe that our culture is becoming more authentic. Therefore, if they don't love Jesus, they don't feel like they have to come to church. And you know what? For me, I like that. I think it's okay. But here's the truth about it. We desire to reach those people who don't love Jesus. And for them to gain godliness, remember the point that we had on the first week? For them to gain the godliness, we have to impact and engage our culture and tell them about who? God. We have to tell them about God. So again, for someone to gain godliness, They have to be told about God. And that's the church's calling. And again, I love people that are authentic. I love them if they say, Bo, I hate preachers. Bo, I don't like church. I don't like any of that. Thank you for being honest, is what I tell them. Now let's be friends. What I don't like is when people are fake and they act like they're a churchgoer and they do things that are opposite of what they say they are. Does that make sense? So I love authenticity. And again, if people are going to gain godliness, we have to be authentic with them. And we have to tell them about our love for Jesus. Number two is this. For someone to gain godliness, they must be saved. Right? They must give their life to Jesus Christ. They must confess Him as their Lord and Savior and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. It starts there and it ends there. You will never be able to gain godliness on your own. It has to come through a personal relationship with Jesus. Number three was this. Gaining godliness comes at a cost. Remember this one? This is the one we don't like. Gaining godliness comes at a cost. We have to consider the cost of what it's going to cost, right, to gain godliness. We have to sometimes deny ourselves, which is the part we don't like, deny ourselves and follow Jesus. And so the cost, and here's a great point that I ended with, I think it was last week. The cost of gaining godliness is always less than the profit. Remember that? Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? I like that. The cost of gaining godliness, no matter what you have to deny to gain godliness, godliness is always worth more than what you put into it. Does that make sense? And so again, gaining godliness comes at a cost. Last week, here's what else we did. Last week, we defined what godliness is. I mean, again, if we're going to be godly, then we have to know what it looks like. And godliness isn't a self-centered life. Godliness isn't, you know, all about us. It's a Christ-centered life that is opposed to a self-centered life. We say no to ungodliness and we say yes to living an upright life that glorifies God. That's what it looks like to be godly. Well, part four is this. And can I just say this before I go into part four? My respect and my admiration for the rancher, for the cattleman, for the cattle producer, for every person that raises beef has grown. You know why? Because there is more to it than just buying a cow and making a profit. Amen? Some of you guys need to realize this. The beef that you eat, all the food that you, the meat that you get to eat, these cattle buyers are taking risks every day to make a profit. And it's not just about podunk kind of a good, you know, here's the cowboy and he just does his thing and he just makes a profit. No, listen, there is strategy, there's work, there is, commitment, there is, a desire to see good beef come to you and to me. And so my hat's off to the cattle buyers, the ranchers, the cowboys, and everybody else that works in this industry, because it's a tough industry. But here's the thing. Let's give all the ranchers a hand. Give all the cattle people a hand. Again, today I want to wrap it up by talking about one more factor in the cattle industry that I think makes a big difference. And this is it. The rate of gain. We've talked about the cost of gain. Now we're going to talk about the rate of gain. And you say, what is the rate of gain when you're talking about cattle? Here's how I would explain it. And again, I'm going to simplify it for my own sake. It also, when you talk about the rate of gain, you're talking about the average daily gain of weight on a calf. Okay? You with me? Here's how I would determine it. And again, there's calculations to determine it before you even buy the calves. But here's how I would determine it. You buy a calf, it weighs, let's say, 750 pounds. You sell the calf, it weighs 950 pounds. How much is the gain? Come on now, mathematicians. $200. If you divide the $200 by the number of days that you own that calf from the time you bought it to the time you sell it, that's how you get the average daily gain. You see the difference? You see how it works? Is that right? Pounds. Sorry, pounds. I got money on my mind and my money. No, I'm just kidding. Pounds. Would you just come up here and preach this for me really quick? Mark. So let me just recap that. The weight that you the day you buy the calf, that you weigh it, right? You have 750 pounds. Then you sell it for 950 pounds, or you sell it and it weighs 950 pounds. The gain is 200 pounds. Is that what I said? Is that right? You take the 200 pounds, you divide by the number of days that you own that calf, and then you can determine the average daily gain or the rate of gain on that calf, right? Does that make sense? All right, now that we're clear on that, now here's the thing. Depending on the history of the cattle that you buy, a lot of cattlemen can buy cattle from the same person year after year, and they can tell you, because of the genetics and the history, what that cattle or that calf's going to gain throughout the year once they own it. Feedlots are savvy of this. They can make that work. But here's the thing. Many factors go into the rate of gain or determining the rate of gain. I'll give you some examples of some factors that go into it. Where do the cattle come from, right? That's a factor that goes into the rate of gain. If you buy, like my buddy Mark, who buys cattle from Florida, if you buy cattle from Florida, they may do better when they get to Oklahoma, right? There are some cattle that don't do better in Oklahoma. They do better elsewhere. So again, where they come from may make a difference in their rate of gain. Here's number two, the body condition. If you buy a calf and he's way too fat because he was somebody's pet, guess what? He's probably not going to put on as much weight because he's too fat. If you buy a calf that's been sick and given shots and antibiotics for 3 weeks straight, guess what? He's a chronic and he's probably not going to put on 1 pound, right? So again, it determines on the body condition. Here's the other thing. It's determined by the feed that you give him, right? The forage, the hay, the pasture, the wheat, the rations, whatever you feed them will determine the rate of gain. Here's number four, the breed of cattle. If you buy a Longhorn, he's probably not going to put on as much weight as an Angus, okay? Some of you guys are going to go out and buy some calves next Tuesday at the sale, right? Amen, you're learning a lot. But here's the thing, the breed may not, or you may not gain as much because of the breed. Here's the fifth thing, the genetics. Again, genetics in cattle make a big difference. And again, a lot of people follow the genetics and they know the genetics that they're buying and they know they're going to produce more weight. Another factor that plays into it is age. If it's old, it's probably not going to gain as much if it's young. And then the seventh thing, the last thing, is the time of year. Again, is it hot? Is there good pasture? Is the weather good? All of those things play into the rate of gain or the average daily gain of calves. Now, here's the point. You say, what's the point? Well, I want to make this point as well. A lot of the factors that go into cattle gaining weight are a lot of them are dependent upon the rancher's provision for that calf. Are you with me? Think about that again. I want to say that again. A lot of the factors that go into a calf gaining weight is a lot of it's dependent on the rancher himself. If the rancher will provide good forage, the cattle will gain weight. If the rancher will provide fresh water, the cattle will gain weight. If the rancher will give the right shots to prevent disease, right, the cattle will gain weight. If the rancher will take care of the fly control and worm the calves, again, they will gain weight. The better the provision, the more likely the cattle will grow. Now, here's the point. And you say, okay, great lesson. I'm going to go, you know, get a degree in ag now. I love you, you know. I mean, but here's the point that I want to make today. It's this, and this is how it applies to us. When it comes to gaining godliness, number one, God's provision is always best. God's provision is always best. And I look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." You know what this verse is saying? You know what this point is, what I mean by this point? Here's the truth. If just like the cattleman that provides for his calves and they grow, listen, God provides for us. In God's industry of raising cowboys and cowgirls, godly cowboys and godly cowgirls, God always provides us with the best opportunity to gain. Do you follow me? God's provision is always best. Again, just like a good cattle buyer or a good rancher provides the best provision for his calves so that they can grow, God provides the best provision for us. And here's the truth about God. God doesn't have to go to Farm Credit, right, and borrow the money. God doesn't have to grow his own food. God doesn't have to, you know, again, he doesn't have to go out and scramble in hope of meeting our need. His pockets are deep and his resources are unlimited. Amen? And so again, you say, okay, Bo, what does he provide for me? I mean, if God's provision is always the best, what does he provide for me? Well, here's the answer. Everything. I mean, I can make a list, and I have a list. Physically, God provides the food that you get to eat. Physically, God provides the job that you get to have. He provides us with other people that are gifted in certain areas, like the rancher, like the farmer, like the baker, like the repairman, like the counselor. He provides all of those people with the gifts that they have so that they can provide for us. You see it? And so God's provision, again, is he provides physically for us, but he also provides spiritually. Here's what he provides. When I'm tempted to sin, guess what he provides? The strength to say no. When I need wisdom, he provides all that I can take in. When I need money to meet the needs in my life, guess what? He provides all the money that I need, not that I want, but that I need. And so again, all of these things are the provision of God. But here's a major key, and I'll give an illustration of this. The other day, I don't remember when it was. It was maybe last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, I went to the Reed Ranch. I think it's Spearman or Pampa. Spearman, Texas. Went to the Reed Ranch, and on this ranch, actually, I think they leased this land, but it's a pasture, and the pasture's over 8,000 acres under one fence. 8,000 acres. This is a pasture that you can get lost in. I didn't get lost, but you could get lost. But here's the thing. In this pasture, it has a bunch of, like draws and ravines and all kinds of stuff. And then it comes down into this bottom, and that's where all the pens are located at in this bottom. Now, here's what I've noticed about, and this is noticeable in every ranch, but here's what I've noticed. When Simone, which is the Mexican guy that takes care of these cattle for the Reeds, when he blows the siren, guess what the cattle do? They come running. But what else do? They bawl, right? They moo, right? You guys with me here? Simone, he puts a siren on, and all of a sudden, every cow lights up like, "Mah!" That wasn't a very good one. That was like a baby goat or something. Sheep, that's what that was. Moo! That's like, I mean, every time they sound the siren, those cattle call out. It's like they're answering Simone. Simone, he blows the siren, they answer him. And essentially, what they're saying? Feed me! Feed me! Well, here's the truth, and here's how it applies to us. Although God's provision is always available, guess what? We have to ask him for it. When he blows the siren and says, "Hey, I've got all this provision, come and get it," we have to go, "Lord, give it to me. I want to come and I want to receive it from you." Look at Matthew 7:7-8. It says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." And you say, "Bo, what's all that mean?" If we are going to grow in godliness, then we must trust in God's provision that it's the best that he can offer, and we must ask him to feed us. So he provides that. Here's another thing that God provides for us. He provides protection, right? If you're a good rancher, if you're a good cattleman, guess what? You're going to give your cattle shots that's going to prevent disease, right? Here's the thing that God does for us. God, he vaccinates us with the truth of his word so that when the lies and the evil of this world, when the disease of sin tries to infiltrate our bodies, guess what? We are vaccinated with the truth of God's word and we don't have to take it in. Are you with me? Oh. Some days. So again, God protects us, He provides protection for us. Psalm 91, 1 through 4 says this: "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord: He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers, and He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection." God provides the best protection that we can have. Here's number two. His provision is always best. Number two is this. And how many of you guys own cattle? Anybody own cattle? Okay. How many of you guys out of the cattle that you own, you have one idiot that always tries to jump the fence or get out? Anybody? Come on now. Yeah. Here's point number two. This goes out to that red horn cattle that you own and that everybody else owns. Number two is this: our disposition determines our rate of gaining godliness. You say, "Well, I want you to illustrate that." Well, here's another story about the Reed Ranch. We went to the Reed Ranch last Wednesday again, and there was this one red cow with horns. And one of them was broke off. The other one was really long. This red horn cow just didn't want to stay in the pen. Right? I mean, this is one of those cows, the high-headed sucker that was dry. In other words, she didn't have a calf. She was worthless. She was going to be culled out of the herd and taken away. But here's the thing. They had to catch her first, right? They had to catch her. But, again, and so they did. They finally got her into this pen where they backed the trailer up as fast as they could. All the cowboys lined up around the fence where this crazy cow was. They all had their ropes down ready to catch her when she jumped the fence. She was a crazy sucker. Now, here's the thing. You say, "Well, okay, what's all that mean?" Well, again, the cattle's disposition makes a difference on whether the cattle is going to be healthy, whether it's going to get its shots, and whether it's going to grow. And guess what? It's the same with us. If we are willing to cooperate with God, if we are willing to allow Him to test us, if we are willing to submit to His will, we will grow in godliness. But when we try to jump out of His pen, guess what? We're not going to grow, and we're not going to be healthy. It's the same way. When we fight Him, when we run from His will, when we say no to His plans, we will not only suffer more, but we will not grow. And can I just say this as well? Here's something else that I've noticed about cattle. The cows that come the closest to the truck, they all know where the cake is, right? Have you ever noticed that? Like a cow, when it comes close to the feed truck and the cake box is on the back of the truck, guess what they do? They come up and they get by the feed box and they try to find every little, piece of cake that's right there, by the feed box, or the cake box, right? They'll get on, they'll put their, heads on the back of the pickup bed and they'll try to eat every little piece of cake that they can find, right? Now, here's what I've learned about that. Those cows, they're the fattest cows that you've got, right? You know why? Because they're not afraid to get close enough to get more cake. Here's the truth for us. Just like that, if we will draw near to God and say, "Okay, God, I want you to feed me. I'm coming close." Instead of being that high-headed sucker, that sucker that doesn't want to learn about God, doesn't want to, God to challenge them, doesn't want God to, do anything in their lives. If we will just come close to Him, we will grow in godliness as well. James 4:8 says this: "Come near to God and He will come near to you." We've just got to be willing to come near to Him. And so again, number two is our disposition determines our rate of gaining godliness. Here's number three and I'm done. Number three, our worth isn't always dependent on how much we weigh. So you guys are like, "Dang it, you're picking on fat people again." Now, here's the truth. Our worth isn't always dependent on how much we weigh. And again, this is something I haven't really grasped yet in the cattle industry, but here's the truth. If I take a calf and I get him up to 900 pounds, He may not be worth more, and I may not gain more profit off of him if I would have sold him at 750 pounds. You know why? Because the cost of gain that I had to put that extra 150 pounds or whatever it is on that calf then for him to weigh 900 pounds cost me more than what he would have been worth if I would have sold him at 750 pounds. And you say, well, what's the point, Bo? Some people, they go, you see that person over there? That person can sing. You see Marsha? She can sing so well. You see that person? I mean, he can preach. You see that person? They got more money. You see that person? They were raised in a godly home. And then you look at me and you go, hey, I wasn't raised in a godly home. I can't sing. I don't have any money. And we compare, right? That person weighs more. They got more talents. They got more gifts. They got all that stuff. But here's the truth. God finds worth in you whether you have all these gifts or whether you don't have all these gifts. He can use anyone. He can gain or he can save anyone, and he can grow anyone. And here's the truth about God. He knows exactly how much feed to give each of us. Some of you can't take in as much feed as somebody else. And God knows that. Some of you are new believers and you can't take in, you know, as much spiritual stuff as somebody else can. And God knows that. And guess what? He's going to feed you so that you can gain weight in godliness every day and so that you can grow in godliness. And he knows how much to feed you. And so again, what is the rate of gain that you're growing? What is the rate of gain that you're growing in godliness? Are you gaining weight spiritually every day, or are you starving to death? I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Here's the thing. What is the rate of gain? What is your rate of gain gaining godliness? And you say, but how do I gain weight spiritually? How do I, you know, do that? And again, it's just like I said before, you got to get close to God. You say, how else do I do it? You got to read God's word. You say, how do I grow in my godliness? You've got to pray and ask God to feed you. You've got to serve him. And so again, what is your rate of gain? Are you gaining godliness every day? Are you closer to God today than you were yesterday? Here's another thing that I want to ask you. What's your disposition? Do you have an attitude that says, no, God, I don't care what you want to do. I'm not doing it. I don't care what you've told me in the Word. I'm not doing it. Is your disposition right? Are you running from His will? Are you running from His plans? Are you embracing them and saying, okay, God, whatever it is, that whatever road you want to take me down, well, however you want to feed me, I am willing to accept it. Maybe you're that person that is, again, you look at other people and go, man, they just weigh more. They got more gifts. They got more talents. I'm just poor, poor, pitiful me. And we compare. Listen, God, He loves you just as much as He loves the preacher. He loves you just as much as He loves the elder. He loves you just as much as the person that's been in church all their life. He loves you, and your worth is found in Christ alone, not whether you're gifted in this area or whether you're not gifted in this area. And so some of you need to realize that and stop comparing yourself to everybody else, but just praising God for the gifts that He's given you. Listen, godliness is great gain. And we must allow God to grow that in us. Some of you are here today and you've never experienced God's provision. You never allowed Him to feed you because you've never accepted Him into your life. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I begin that relationship with Jesus? Here's the truth. All you have to do is surrender your life. Just say, maybe in your heart right now, even in your chair right now, you just pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died on the cross so that you could provide for my life. You could provide, again, spiritually. You could provide physically. You could provide all the things that I need. And so right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And I give you my heart. Come into my life and save me from my sin so that I can grow in my godliness. Maybe you just need to pray that prayer. Maybe you just now prayed that prayer. Listen, if you did, here's the truth. You are saved. If you meant it in your heart and you believe it in your heart, then you have given your life to Jesus Christ and He lives inside of you, and you now have the ability to call upon Him and He will provide for you. Now, here's the thing. If you just prayed that prayer, we want to know about it because we want to help you grow. We want to come alongside of you and show you what it looks like to again, read the Word of God, to pray, to develop that godly lifestyle that God desires from all of us. And so here's all we ask you to do. If you just fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets, or if you don't want to do that, you can text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you about the decision that you made today. Here's what we're going to do. If you did that, I challenge you to write it down or to text us. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. If you have questions or need prayer or any of that, please come and find me. I would love to visit with you about that. Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you for the opportunity to share how we can become godly and how we can grow in our godliness. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here today. They're not here by accident. They were here to hear the word and the truth on how to grow in their godliness. And so, Lord, thank you for the opportunity of coming close to you, and may we get closer every day of our lives. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.